The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Bullock. Ayar Bullock ben Zippor is Kol HaShirosu Yisrael Lameri. Balak, the son of Tzipor, saw all that Israel did to Emairi. Vayogor Maim ibnei Ha'om. And Moab, the nation Moab, became very afraid from Klal Yisrael, Kirafu, because of their multitude. Vayokotz Moab ibnei b'nei Yisrael. Vayim Moab el Zikni Midyon. And the people of Moab, they went to the elders of Midyon, another nation. Atoy lachachu akol eskol svivoseinu kilchei hashoresh yerek hasodeh. This nation is going to devastate everything in its path, just as the shore, the ox does, when it comes to all of the green of the pasture. Bolok ben Zippor melech le'Moab be'Isahi, and Bolok was the king of Moab at that time. Vayishlach malachim el Bilam ben Bo'or b'Seir. And they sent messengers to Bilam, asher al anor eretz b'nei Amoy likrei le'moleh. Hine am yotze mi Mitzrayim, to tell him that this nation has gone out of Egypt, hine chisoas eino oretz buyeshi mumuli, that it's covered this nation has covered the entire land. Vato lechono ore li es omase. Please go and curse this nation. Ki otzum hu mimeni, because they are stronger than me. Ulai uchal nakeboi, va gorshenu min oretz. And then perhaps we can smite them. Ki yedati ve'isasher te'orech mevayroch v'asher te'or yukor. Because I know that whatever you bless is blessed, and whatever you curse is cursed. So Rashi tells us that when the nation of Moab, why did they choose to go to Midian to ask counsel for them what to do? Because when they saw Klal Yisrael, Israel becoming so victorious, and Shaleki min hogei shel Elon, in such an unnatural way, in such a miraculous way, so they became very afraid, and also they became very puzzled as to how to deal with this nation. If this was a nation which was fighting war, conventional wars, so they would know how to deal with them. But they weren't fighting conventional wars. It was with miracles. It was with the 10 plagues, with the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea. So they became very puzzled also. How do you confront such a situation? So the elder said that Mesha, the leader of this nation, is Gadol b'Midyan. He grew up in Midyan. When was this? When he fled from Pharaoh after he had killed the Egyptian. So he fled to Midian, and that's where he met his wife, Zipporah, and stayed with his father-in-law, Yisro. So therefore, and he spent a long time in Midian. Therefore, they said that since he grew up in Midian, perhaps the people from Midian would know more about him. So they sent to the elders of Midian to ask counsel. The answer was, "Is keche b'fiv." The power of Moshe Rabbeinu is by his word. He doesn't fight with his hands; he fights with his speech. Therefore, if you want to overcome him, you must also fight against him with words. Therefore, they advised, go to Bilam. Bilam was a prophet, and what he's able to provoke blessings and provoke curses with the word. Therefore, your only answer is Bilam. This is what brought them to Bilam. This that, incidentally, that was mentioned, that his power is with the word. This was the brocha, the blessing which was given to Yaakov, Hakol Kol Yaakov. That the power that Yaakov has is with his voice. Actually, The power of Esav, of the nations of the world, is al charba chotichya. They shall live by the sword. So the nations here were coming really not with their own power. They were trying to take the power of Israel. Later on we find that the angel stood in front of the donkey of Bilam with a sword. And he said, I should kill you with the sword, because you have exchanged your power for the power of Yaakov. Therefore I should use the power of Esav on you. And the end was that Bilam was eventually killed with the sword by Pinchas. We find many comparisons in this Sedra between Bilam and Avraham Avinu, Abraham. For example, once Bilam received permission to go, states that he got up in the morning by Yahweh Shasene, and he himself saddled his donkey. We find that by Avraham Avinu also such a thing happened. That when Hashem told him to go and sacrifice his only son, in the morning Avraham got up, Yash came Avraham Avaker, early in the morning, by Yahweh Shaskamere, and it states that he saddled his donkey. And even though both people were very, very wealthy and noblemen, and they had many, many servants. So there, the Chazal, the sages tell us, Avraham Mekalkelis es Ashura. Avraham had such great love to fulfill the word of Hashem that love distorts logic. And he went and saddled his donkey himself. And here the Chazal state, Hasina Mekalkelis es Ashura. Hatred also distorts logic. Bilam had such a hatred against Klal Yisrael that he couldn't wait for the servants. He went and saddled his donkey himself. When he did, of course, Baruch Hu stated, Rosho Tarki Damcho Avraham Avinu. It won't help you. Because Avraham Avinu has preceded you with this act. He saddled his own donkey when he went to the Akedah, when he went to sacrifice Yitzchak. See, here we see a comparison. What it means, we'll understand a little more later in the Shir. Another case is when Bilam wanted to go and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't let him, and finally Hashem said, go ahead, but Leisor es Om Ki Baruch Hu, but do not curse the nation because they are Baruch, they are blessed. What does that mean? The sages tell us, because they are already blessed from the Ovis. They are already blessed from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So that's the second instance. Another instance. That when Bilam went and he was confronted by the angel of Hashem, and he was forced to stop three times. So there Rashi tells us, Simone Oves Hereu, that this was a sign of the three Oves, of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And when he finally came to Bullock, and he said, make for me altars, so I shall make sacrifices. He mentioned seven sacrifices. I'll make the seven sacrifices. The Oves, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, together sacrificed seven times. I myself will sacrifice all seven alone. So we see here that there's quite a bit of comparison between Bilam and between Avraham Avinu. Then there's a Mishnah in Masechta Oves, Perek Hei, Mishnah Yutes, that states as follows. Kol mi sheyesh beishleish dvorim halolo, whoever has these three qualities, hu mitalmidov shel Avraham Avinu, then he is from the disciples of Abraham. Shleish dvorim acherim, whoever has three other qualities, hu mitalmidov shel Bilam Arosh, then he is from the disciples of Bilam, the wicked. What are the qualities? Ein tova, ruach nemucha, v'nefesh shfolo. If a person has a good eye, and if a person has a humble spirit, which means that he has humility, v'nefesh shfolo, and if a person does not seek a great deal of material wealth, then he's mitalmidov shel Avraham Avinu. He's from the disciples of Avraham Avinu. Ein roah, if a person has the converse, he has an evil eye, a bad eye, ruach gevaya, or he's arrogant, he's haughty, or a nefesh rechova, or he constantly desires great material wealth, mitalmidov shel Bilam Arosh, then he's from the disciples of Bilam Arosh. And we find these qualities, the three by Abraham and the three by Bilam. The Mefarshim tell us, by Abraham, we see he had a very good eye. A good eye means someone who wants to always do good things for other people. Not only in return. If somebody does something good for you and you want to return it, that's a good quality. But that's not necessarily an ein tova, a good eye. Because that person did a chesed, he did good for you, so therefore you want to return it. An ein tova means someone who wants to do good all the time for people. He sees good in people. He doesn't see bad things in them. But he wants to be matey with them. He wants to do good in them. This is the midah, the quality of gemilas chesed. When a person wants to be gemel chesed, there's a basic difference between chesed and rachamim. Rachamim is compassion. When you see someone in dire need, when you see someone in pain and you want to relieve that pain, it's a very great midah. It's a very great quality. But our sages tell us that chesed is a greater quality. Because compassion is a quality which is being awakened in you because of the situation, and you're reacting to it. It's not necessarily that you want to do good for the person, except because of his dire situation, his dire physical situation, his dire emotional situation, his dire financial situation. So it awakens compassion in you and you react. So basically it's a reaction. If he wasn't in such straits, then he wouldn't react. The midah of chesed is the quality of wanting to do good for someone because you want to do good. Whether he's in straits or not, whether he's in dire need or not, you want to do good for him. And that was the quality of Avraham Avinu. That's the quality of Gemilas Chesed. And Avraham was the father of Gemilas Chesed. This we see consistently. The three angels came. Abraham didn't know them. There was no reason why he should show any compassion to them. Not only he didn't know them, he thought they were idolaters. And still, he couldn't do enough for them. He insisted they should come into his house. He insisted that they should bathe, and they should be well fed and well rested. Another place we see this is when it came to Sdeim and Amora, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy these cities. Avraham went and he intervened with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, putting forth a case that the people should be saved. Avraham had no particular reason why he should want to do this for them. And in general we see Avraham was the one who was the Marbitz Torah. He went to spread Torah all over the world. What he had discovered in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the oneness the responsibility a person has to the Almighty. That the Almighty had created the world, and he conducts the world, and the person is responsible to him, and everything else that went with this. Abraham was not satisfied to keep this to himself. He wanted to bring this to the entire world. Why? Because he had a tremendous love for people, and he wanted to do good for people. This is Ein Tova. This is a good eye. And this is Gemilas Chesed, Chesed. And this shows a innate goodness in a person. The Gemara says, Eizehu Chosid. Who is a Chosid? A Chosid is an expression which is used in the Gemara for a very high level good person. So who is the Chosid? Hamischasid imacherim. The one who wants to do good for others. You want to know who a Chosid is? So the Gemara says, see what he does. If he seeks constantly to do good for others, then he is the Chosid. What does this mean? Because if a person constantly wants to give to others, then it means he has himself. A water, a spring of water, can only feed other springs only if it has itself. You want to see how good a person is innately, then this you can see by how much goodness flows from him to others. If a person is good but it does not flow to others, that's not a sign that he might be so good. So Eizehu Chosid, who comes to this level of Hasidus, this level of goodness, Hamischasidim Acherim, someone who constantly does good for others. This was Avraham Avinu. And this is Ein Tova, where he has a good eye for everyone, and therefore wants to be mate, he wants to do good. By Bilam, it states in the Parsha that when he came to look at Klal Yisrael, Vayisa es Eino Vayares Yisrael Sheichen Lishvotov, he lifted his eyes and he saw Yisrael dwelling peacefully, orderly with each other. And he lifted his eyes, and the Medrash says, Bikesh litein bahem ein ro. He wanted to give them an ein ro, an evil eye. With his eyes, he wanted to find something bad in them, so his curse would take effect. This is just the opposite. Avraham was able to find good in the three angels that came. But to Avraham, he thought they were idolaters. He was able to find good in Zedayim and Amorah, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't even find good in them, because in the end he destroyed them all. Bilam, when he saw the beauty of Klal Yisrael, Sheikh and Lishvotov, that each and every one was living in peace, and the Gemara says in peace and in privacy, with modesty, and not one was in the business of the other, and there wasn't gossip in Loshon Hora, so this was good what he saw. Bikesh litein bohem ein ro. By Yisos Einov, he wanted to give them an ein ro, an evil eye. He was looking for something evil in them. So by Bilam we see just the opposite. He had an ein ro. And if an ein tova, if a good eye is a sign that the person has goodness in him, that he wants to give to others, then a bad eye is a sign that a person has evil in him. This means a person who constantly sees badly in other people, that's a sign that he has evil in himself. And this was Bilam. Then the Mishnah tells us a second quality, Ruach Gevaya, Ruach Nemucha. Avraham was very humble. He told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anechi Ofer Ve'efer, what are you promising me so many things, or how can I ask you anything? When he intervened by Sdom, Anechi Ofer Ve'efer. I am but dust and ashes. This is what Avraham thought of himself. Even though Avraham was not someone to be taken lightly, Avraham became a king. It states that all of the nations came together, Be'emek HaMelech, in the valley of the king, where they all made Avraham the king. Avraham had tens of thousands of followers. We see that wherever Avraham went, kings, he associated with kings. He had tremendous material wealth, tremendous power. And still he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anechi Ofer Ve'efer, I am but dust and ashes. By Bilam, when the messengers came to him, and that night HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do not go with them. I don't want you to go because they want you to curse the nation and the nation is blessed. So Bilam did not give this message over to the messengers of the king. Rather, he said, he told them, Me'ein Hashem l'siti l'halech imohem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not allowed me to go with you. That was the message he gave. He didn't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not allowed me to go. Has not allowed me to go with you. So he inferred that the Almighty would not stop me because I am too great. So why is he not allowing me to go? Because you are not noble or honorable enough that I, such a person, should go with you. Rakim Hashuvi Mikem. And that's why when the message came back to Balak, so next time he sent even more noble messengers. Because he thought that maybe these were not kfik feidoy. This was not in his proper honor. So while Avraham, who had what to be arrogant over, was humble, Bilam, who didn't have so much to be arrogant, humble over, who didn't have so much to be arrogant, was arrogant. That's the second quality. The third quality is Nefesh Rechova. Nefesh Rechova and Nefesh Shfolo. Avraham was Nefesh Shfolo, where he did not seek great material wealth. We see this when he went to war to save his nephew Lot with the five kings and the four kings, and he won. So then they wanted to give him the share of the spoils. There was tremendous amount of spoils because many kings and kingdoms were captured. So on that Avraham said, Imichut v'atzruch noah. I don't want anything, if it's a shoelace or a shoe, not even that. I don't want it. Raki says, I only want the share of those people that came to fight with me. Their share I cannot waive. Give them their share. But as far as what I am supposed to get, I want nothing. And he said, I never want that anyone will be able to say that we made Avraham wealthy. He says, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes me wealthy. So here we see that he didn't even want what was rightfully his. So certainly then Avraham didn't want something that was not rightfully his. Now this is the midah, the quality of mistapik b'mu'at, someone who's satisfied with his lot. Doesn't want more, he doesn't seek great material wealth. Hasameach b'chelkei, he's happy with his portion. By Bilam said, im yiten li bolek mo lebesei kesev ezov, that even if you'll give me a fee of a house full of silver and gold, still I will not be able to go with you, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow me. This is what in the end he told Balak. or I will not be able to curse them. I'll only be able to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. So he indicated the fee. If you'll give me a house, the fee should be a house full of silver and gold. But still I won't be able to do it. But this was his fee. And that was a tremendous fee. And the Rashi says, explains, he says, why am I charging so much? Because if I don't do it, then you'll have to send armies against Klal Yisrael. You know what the cost of armies are? Right? Of armies, and feeding them, and weapons. So a house full of gold and silver, you'll be getting off easy. But at any rate, this was the fee he wanted. So we see that he had a nefesh rechovo, that he had a great desire for material wealth. So the Mishnah tells us, whoever has the first three qualities can be counted amongst the disciples of Avraham. Whoever has the second three qualities can be counted amongst the disciples of Bilam HaRosho. What are the difference? Tamidim shel Avraham Avinu eichlin b'yom hazeh v'neichlin l'olam habo. The disciples of Avraham, they eat in this world and they'll inherit the next world. In other words, they will have two worlds. This world and the next world. As it states, that I will give to my beloved Yesh something of essence, and I will fill up their treasure houses. But the disciples of Bilam, Yorshin Gehenim, they will not have this world or next world. They will have Gehenim. Yodin leber shachas, and they will go down to an empty abyss. Shdem arvato lekim teri deim leber shachas. As it states, the Jew, the Almighty, will take them down, send them down to an empty abyss. Anshe domi mumirmo. These are the people who shed blood, people of deceit. Lo yechatsu yemehem. They will not live out half of their days. And there's a medrash which states that Bilam ba'tlosen utlosh ninhav. Bilam died at 33 years old, before 35. Since the normal life of a person is 70, so half of his days will be 35. Before he reached the age of 35, he died. To fulfill this posuk, lo yechatsu yemehem, they will not live half of their days. This is what the Mishnah tells us. Now, to go into this a little deeper, the Maral Prague in his Pirish explains. Firstly, Avraham, he was the head of Klal Yisrael. Bilam was a potential head of all of the nations of the world. The nations of the world did not have great prophets. And the Medrash tells us they came with a complaint to the Almighty. They said that, you know why Klal Yisrael is so great? Not because of them, but because you gave them such great prophets. If you give us people like that, we also will be so great. So in order that this argument should not be valid, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, all right, I will give you a person who also will have the potential to be a very great prophet. And the Gemara tells us that the potential of Bilam was a tremendous potential, where had he directed his powers and his growth properly, he would have been from the greatest prophets of the world. And therefore Bilam was given this power, and he was a potential head of the goyim. Now this is why we're making these comparisons here between Avraham and between Bilam. Avraham was the head of Klal Yisrael, and Bilam was the head of the goyim. A second principle, which is very important, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he put him into this world. This world is actually a dual world. There's a physical world, the Elam HaGashmi, and there's a spiritual world, the Elam HaRuchoni. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave life to man, and he placed him into this world. And man is given the Bechira, the free choice, to do as he pleases, and to choose as he pleases. The ultimate task of man is where he should rise above the physical world and seek the spiritual qualities. But it's within man's power to strive for the physical world alone, to sink into the physical world, not to conquer and to elevate himself, but to become shackled and enslaved to the physical world. So this, in a nutshell, is the choice and the task which was given to man. Now, the physical world is not a complete world. It is not sholem. It is lacking. The spiritual world is a complete world. If a person lives in the physical world, but he elevates himself to the point where he strives for spiritual height also, and then he's living in both worlds, then he'll find the perfection, he'll find the completion. But if a person only associates himself with the physical level, contrary to what he thinks, he will always be chosar, he will always be lacking. Because physical world, physical entity, is never complete, it's always lacking. Abraham, what did he do? He elevated himself to a height which in many ways was greater than any other man reached. He used the physical world only as a base for himself, but he strived for a spiritual perfection. Bilam, to the contrary, strove to link himself with the physical materials of the world and sunk into the physical world. These were the two drochim, the two ways that each of these two men chose. Now, man was given three parts, which we've spoken about several times before. Man was given a physical body, the guf. He was given the nefesh. The nefesh is the life power of a person, which is the emotions of the person, the life in him. And then he was given the seichel, the intellect and the spirit. These were the three parts which were given to man. The three qualities which we mentioned before, each one is linked to one of these three parts. Ein tova, a good eye. To have a good eye or an evil eye for another person. This comes from the nefesh of the person. A from the emotional and life-giving structure of the person. To have a desire, or to be arrogant, or to be humble, this has to do with the seichel, with the mentality, the intellect of the person. Because seeking kovod, seeking honor, this links itself with the intellectual level of the person. And nefesh rechova, to seek great material wealth, this has to do with the physical entity of the person. So there were three entities that man is made up of. There's a physical entity, the emotional entity, and the intellectual. Avraham Avinu, who uplifted himself from this world, and he strove for greater things, so therefore he had the good eye, the Ein Tova. He had the Ruach Nemucha, where he was humble, and he had the Nefesh Shvula, where he was satisfied with a little. He did not have great physical desires. Bilam, to the contrary, see, Bilam, who fell into the physical world, therefore, and the physical world is something which constantly is lacking and is never perfect and never complete. So from there came out an evil eye, a constant seeking for more, and an arrogance. There's another Mishnah in Masechta Avos, which the Mishnah states, Akina va'ataiva va'akovid meitzin es odem min ha'olam. There are three traits which can destroy man from this world. Hakina, jealousy. Hataiva, desires. Desire for overindulgence in the physical world. Bakoved, and the quest for honor. These three traits can destroy man from this world. Now here also, those three traits are parallel to these three entities of the person. Jealousy, envy, this has to do with the emotional entity of the person. Taiva, physical desire, this has to do with the physical entity of the person. Kovod, the quest for honor, which is not due to him, this has to do with the intellect of the person, because it's the intellect of the person that strives for honor. Honor is something which is very sophisticated. It's not physical, and it's not even emotional. The Gemara says, Kovod chachomim yincholu. Kovod, honor, that's something that belongs to the wise. These three qualities all relate to one area of the human being. If a person does not perfect one of these areas, then it manifests itself in one of these qualities. And it will destroy the human being, like we see. Today we live in a world of kina, of jealousy and envy, of taiva, of constant desire for everything that's physical, of kovod, of seeking glory and honor and fame. And we see that it destroys people. And when it states destroys, it means it will eventually physically destroy a person. People become sick because of the redifas, because of the constantly pursuing things. people go and die before their time, or they kill others, or wars are made because of this. This is Hakina Vahataiva Vahakoveid, made seen as Odomina Il. It will drive a person out from the world. We spoke in a shir not long ago that, on the other hand, a person can perfect all of these three areas. As it states, as another Mishnah that states, three crowns were given to Klal Yisrael. Keser Torah, Keser Kuna, and Keser Malchus. The crown of Torah, the crown of priesthood, and the crown of kingship. And then we went into a lengthy interpretation, which we do not have time now, but we'll just mention it, that each crown was given against one of these areas. If a person studies Torah, so he's sanctifying the intellect. He's sanctifying the spirit of man instead of destroying it. The crown of Malchus of kingship, which was given to Klal Yisrael through Dovra Melech, we explain there how this came to sanctify the nefesh ha'odom, the life of the person, the emotions of the person, the heart of the person, because the king was called the heart of the nation. We don't have time now to go into this more at length, as we did then. And Keser Kohuna, the priesthood which was given to Yisrael, this brought sanctification to the physical body of Yisrael. Because the priesthood was the sanctification of the guf. It was the physical sanctification. The Kohanim, he became a Kohen merely through birth. He was born a Kohen. Didn't have to make himself into a Kohen. It was physical. And we see Mumin, if there was an imperfection in his body, this disqualified him from the kuna, from the priesthood. So this represented the sanctification of the physical area of man. So in other words, three areas were given in the human being. And a person has a choice what to do with them. He can perfect them, or he can destroy them. If he perfects them, this is Torah. That's the intellect. Or kingship was given to Klal Yisrael, which brings perfection to the whole nation and in turn to every individual of the Nefesh Odom. Or the Kohuna, the priesthood, which brings sanctification to the physical entity. If he does not strive for spiritual perfection, does not elevate himself, but rather he lets himself be dragged down into the physical world along with it, then these three areas, which are tremendous forces in the human being, tremendous power in the human being, they are so forceful that they will destroy him, heaven forbid, and others also. This brings to, if a person doesn't sanctify the area of the human emotions, this will bring to envy, jealousy. The Gemara says that Achemdo mevi lidei gzeila, v'agzeila mevi lidei shvichas domi. Envy brings to theft, and theft brings to the shedding of blood. This is what we see in the world today. If he does not spiritually develop the physical area of man, then this will bring to taiva, this will bring to an ungirded physical desire for everything that is physical and materialistic. This is what we see in the world today. An unbridled physical desire without any control, without any limitations, to the point where it becomes self-destructive. People today destroy themselves. they destroy themselves with through overambitious careers, with wanting what is not theirs, or pursuing what is not theirs, with drugs, with alcohol, and so on and so on, with all types of promiscuity and homosexuality. This is made seen as odem min ha'olam. It will destroy and drive a person out of the world. Bahakovid. And if a person doesn't spiritually develop the area of the intellect and the spirit of man, then he will be driven, this force, this is not a dormant force in man. This is not something that will lie quietly. This force will drive a person to quest of fame and glory, to the point where we know many, many times a person constantly seeks what's not for him. He wants glory that's not his. It will become self-destructive. Now Avraham, who sanctified himself by elevating himself above the physical world, so there was the Ein Tova, there was the good eye, which came from the emotions, the nefesh or odom. He had a good nefesh and he had a good eye. Bilam, who allowed himself to be dragged into the physical world, and this area became totally physical at the physical level, so had an Ein Ra, an evil eye, a bad eye. It's interesting to note that jealousy, many times we depict with green eyes. We say that this person has green eyes, he's jealous. Where does that expression come from? Actually, that expression comes from the green eyes of a cat. A cat has, a cat's eyes are greenish. And it's accepted by people that a cat is very jealous. So we say many times that he or she has green eyes, see, like the eyes of a cat. Really, it's a chazal. Our sages tell us this. The Gaon in his Pirush and Mish in Ovis, the Vilna Gaon, so he writes that on Kino, the Mido of Kino, the quality of jealousy, each quality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, all of the qualities to man, singular qualities he gave to animals. So he says the quality of jealousy that was given to the cat, the chatzul. And a cat is more jealous than all other animals. Very jealous of his home, of his master, and so forth and so on. If you ever see one cat try to come into the area of another cat, they scratch their eyes out. And so that's where it comes, that someone has green eyes, that comes from the quality of the cat. Now it's interesting that here we relate an Ein Tova, an Ein Ra, if a person has a good eye for others or a bad eye for others, we're relating that to the area of the nefesh, of the emotions of man, which the Tana writes is its manifestation, one of its main manifestations is jealousy, envy, green with envy. So Avraham had a good eye. And Bilam had an envious evil eye. Avraham was nefesh, ruach nemucha. He had sanctified his spirit and his intellect with Torah to the point where he had a ruach nemucha. He was very humble. We find this is a quality of Torah, because by Mesha, who was the one who brought Torah into the world, It says, "Ve'ish Meisha Onif Miod," that Moshe was the most humblest person of all of the people of the world. And it states in Gemara Masechet Shabbos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Teira Teiras Meisha on his name because he was so humble. This is a quality that goes with Torah. But Bilam, who did not sanctify himself, who did not elevate himself, but rather was pursued the physical level of the world, so he was Ruach Gevaya. He was arrogant and haughty. That was covered. And then the third midah, that Avraham was satisfied with a little. Nefesh follow. Because the physical area of the human being, Avraham sanctified. He rose. And therefore he was not interested in the physical world. He was satisfied with his lot. Bilam, to the contrary, was nefesh rechova. He could not fill himself enough. Whatever he had and whatever you gave him was not sufficient. By Avraham, even what he had coming to him, he didn't want. He didn't want to take from others. Certainly, what did not belong to him. Now, this is what is meant. Where the Mishnah concludes and states, what's the difference between these two groups of disciples? Talmid of Shel Avraham Avinu, the disciples of Avraham, Eichlin Be'ilam Azev and Eichlin Le'ilam Abo. They eat in this world and they inherit the next world. Shnema Lahanchelo Ele Yesh Ve'itzreseyam Amale. I will give to them Yesh. Yesh means something of essence, and I will fill up their storehouses. Now this is very interesting to note. It's human nature for a person to want. But people think that they're going to get by running after something and trying to get it. It's not so. Here we see Abraham was not that interested in the physical world. He wasn't jealous of others. He didn't want great honor. He didn't want great wealth. And what is his reward? Just the opposite. That he will inherit this world and the next world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him Yesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him something of essence. Rashi brings here Yesh, Yud Shin, is the numerical value of 310, and this represents 310 worlds. That there are 310 worlds waiting for the righteous. Now, why is this? This is a very important principle. This world, as we mentioned, is chosar. This world is incomplete, the physical world. The only perfection in the physical world is that when it becomes part and parcel of the spiritual world also. But the physical world alone is by nature an incomplete world. This is what our sages teach. Therefore, someone who constantly lives only in the physical world and only pursues the physical world, he will always be incomplete. He will never have. The Gemara says, "Areitzim yesh limon areitzim osayim." If a person has 100, he wants 200. If he has 200, he wants 400. He never has. Because he is eating something which is never complete, and only brings further incompletion to him, where in turn, therefore, he wants more. This is the nature of the physical world. If the physical world is used together with the spiritual world, then it brings satisfaction and completion to the person. It brings shleimus, brings perfection to the person. And therefore, someone who lives a life where he elevates himself from this world, where he strives for higher levels, and this world is merely a foundation for him. So he's using both worlds. Not only will he have world to come, he'll have this world also. he'll have satisfaction in this world also. We mentioned in the shiur not long ago that the Gemara in Brocha says that Hanenem Yegia Kapecho Ashrecha V'Teiv Loch. He'll have two elements. Someone who takes joy from the fruit of his hands, he will have two worlds, this world and the next world. But the one who does not take joy from the fruit of his hands, what does that mean? Means that if a person has some food that he worked for and he enjoys it, he will have both worlds. If he has food that he works for, but he doesn't enjoy it because his eyes are someplace else, like the Chazal say, he drinks from one cup of wine while his eyes are on another cup of wine. He constantly wants more, to the point where what he has he doesn't enjoy because he wants more. And what he wants to enjoy, he doesn't enjoy because he doesn't have it yet. And this is his whole life. And unfortunately, this is Western culture. We have been orientated that whatever we want, we must not enjoy. We must constantly set our sights higher. So we're never being then, and we're never enjoying this world. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, that's only a stepping stone to something more. If it's a small car, so that's now we look for a bigger car. If it's a small house, we look for a bigger house. If it's a small business, we look for a bigger business. So it comes out that what we have, we're not enjoying because our eyes are someplace else. And what we want to enjoy, we never live to enjoy. Because there's no end to that road. That's because we are constantly too involved in the physical limitations of the world that's always chosar, that always lacks. But it says, Hanenem Yegia Kapecha, someone who enjoys the fruits of his hands and gives thanks for what he has. He doesn't look at what he doesn't have, but gives thanks at what he has. He looks positively at what he has. Then he has both worlds. Ashrecha V'tov Loch, both worlds. He has this world and the next world. We gave the story of a person who came, was a wealthy merchant, but he was traveling on business and being all tired. One night he comes to an inn. He goes into the inn and he's learning. He hears in the next room, he hears a voice learning Torah. And he starts to listen, and it's so beautiful. And it's beautiful and it's pleasant and satisfying. And he goes to the innkeeper and he says, "Who is there?" So he told him, "That's the Gaon of Vilna, Rabbi Eliyahu of Vilna, who was world famous." So he knocks on his door. And he says, the Gaon tells him to come in, and he says, "Rebbe, teach me how I also can be Kena Elam Habo, how I also can acquire the world to come." So the Gaon looks at him and he says, "If you're asking for the world to come, so evidently this world you've already acquired. Do you have this world? Are you happy on this world?" He says, "No." He says, "Hey, I'm a big businessman, and I only have headaches. I travel, and I have aggravation, and I have deadlines to meet, and overdrafts, and I never get a chance to enjoy my family, my wife, my children. I never enjoy what I have." So the Gaon says, "Well, if this world you don't have, so how can you be asking for the next world, which is more difficult to acquire?" So the Gaon was telling him this principle. You want to enjoy the next world, then first you must learn to enjoy this world. You want to enjoy this world, then enjoy what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. And if you'll teach yourself to enjoy what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, then you'll have both worlds. You'll have this world, and because you constantly thank Him for what He gave you, you will become a very elevated person, and you'll have the next world too. But if you cannot enjoy this world, then you'll end up with nothing. This is what the Gaon told him, in so many words. I give you a very simple example.
A man is in business. He's in business to build an empire for himself and to make tremendous amounts of money and to gain power. Is he satisfied? Never. The proof of the pudding that he's not satisfied is because whatever he has, he constantly wants more. Now let's say another man is in business. Now his intentions are a little different. He wants to build his business in order, firstly, that he can do us good service to humanity through whatever business he's in. So this is his intention, that he can put out a product which is of value, which is of purpose, which can bring good to people, whatever it might be. He can set standards in his business of honor and of dignity and truthfulness and of respect. He can employ people and help people this way. He can reap profits in this way. He will be able to support himself and his family and do mitzvahs with his money. That type of person is satisfied. He's very satisfied with his work. Whatever he's doing, he feels achievement. Now, what's the difference between the two people? First one let himself be dragged down only in the physical level of the world. And he has linked himself up to a world which is always incomplete, and therefore he will always be incomplete. The second one is using the physical world to let it bring him to a higher spiritual levels. The higher the spirit goes, the more completion and satisfaction it finds. You have a doctor. He's become a doctor because it's lucrative. He can make a lot of money. He works and works and works, and he finds he's never satisfied. You have another person who becomes a doctor because he can bring goodness to humanity. He can serve people. And in addition to that, it'll be a livelihood for himself and his family. Whatever he does, he's satisfied with it. He's achieving. This is the principle. Therefore, by Avraham Avinu and his disciples, he will inherit this world and the next world. By Bilam and his disciples, they will go down Leber Shachas. They will go down to an abyss of emptiness, because this was their life. Their life was emptiness. And that's the essence of Gehenna, an abyss of emptiness. And Lo Yechatzu Yumehem, they will not live out half their days. This is the sign of the emptiness. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, it says, why was Bilam called Bilam? What does the word mean? The word comes from the word Bola. Bola means to swallow, because he wanted to swallow a nation. Who wants to swallow someone who is constantly hungry? This is what Bilam represented, and this is what we're speaking about. Someone who is constantly hungry, it's like someone who's hungry or thirsty and he drinks salty water. Only makes him more thirsty. Abraham's name was Av. Abraham's name, the word came from Av. Av means father. That's the opposite of an emptiness. A father is the one that creates life, that brings to the world. Bilam was the one who wanted to take from the world, and Avraham was the one who gave to the world. He was called Av Hamein Goyim, the father of a multitude of nations. Now all that we said is represented where it states that Avraham got up in the morning and Bilam got up in the morning. Avraham got up in the morning and saddled his donkey, and Bilam got up in the morning to saddle his donkey. Avraham got up in the morning because of his great love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and love distorts logic And in wanting to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to go and bring his son as a sacrifice. Now, to do such a thing is against all human nature. So Abraham's great love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu elevated himself beyond all human nature. And this was the symbol that Abraham was rising above the physical level. Bilam got up in the morning because of Asino Mekalkeles Esa Shura, because hatred distorts all logic. Because of a hatred of Klal Yisrael, the hatred of Hashem, he got up in the morning and saddled his own donkey. That was just the opposite. Instead of being elevated above the human nature, he sank into the depths of the evil of the human being. And therefore, when he did this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Don't worry, you will be powerless against Klal Yisrael. Shekvar ki damcho Avraham Avinu, because Avraham already got up in the morning before you. And he was the foundation for Klal Yisrael. They are too great for you. You cannot curse this nation, ki Baruch, because they are blessed." From here we get an insight into Bilam and into Avraham and into some very important principles regarding our lives. And may we be zeche to learn from this and to strive for these principles.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.